Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And we have finally made it to draft day here on the program. But to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. Happy draft day. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, the first round tonight, what is the most intriguing part of this draft to you, either with the draft itself, players that could be moved around the draft? What are you most, I guess, looking out for tonight?
I want to know what's going to happen with the Patriots at three. I feel like we're at the point now that Caleb Williams at one, Jaden Daniels at two feels fairly locked in. And I think people are still – I think the presumption is that Caleb or Drake May is going to come off the board at three to the Patriots, that they're going to stick and pick and that they'll end up going with Drake May. But I do know there is a caucus inside the Patriots that definitely likes J.J. McCarthy. And I'm curious to see how that plays out, particularly with Jonathan Kraft. Anytime an element of ownership becomes more involved in what your process is, which is what is happening right now, in New England, it makes it a little more unpredictable than people think. Now, the latest wave of sort of where they're going seems to be pushing this Drake May idea. But if it's McCarthy, what becomes interesting is it really would reverberate through the rest of the draft, because I think May is definitely unquestionably the target for the Minnesota Vikings. The idea of the Vikings moving up and especially giving up a lot of assets to move up, I think that player is May that they're targeting. It doesn't mean that they don't like McCarthy at all, but it's definitely the number one priority, I think, moving up. So he would have to get past the Patriots at three for them to come and play at four, and then I think it could trigger all kinds of things in that, you know, top 8, 9, 10, I think through the 15th pick. So that to me is definitely one that it's pretty interesting. And then another team that not a lot of people are talking about, the Indianapolis Colts, I don't think have gotten a ton of, you know, chatter in the process, particularly as a potential trade team. But, you know, I think the Colts really prize – I think they definitely want to take a player to accentuate Anthony Richardson. I think they would love it to be one of those top three wideouts. I think if the top 5, 6 picks, 7 picks – go into a certain way that one of those or two of those wideouts start to slide toward the end of 10, I think Indianapolis could become more active. I think if they get stuck at 15, it depends if Bowers is there. If he's not, I bet you the first surprise we see is potentially Xavier Worthy coming off at number 15 to the Colts.
Hi, Charles. Sorry, I missed most of your answer because my computer just melted down. So, first of all, you're in L.A., so you got a show tonight. We should let you plug that real fast. And you and Fitz, by the way, our guy Fitz out there with you, make sure you make sure he brings his fiddle, because I think that, you know, a little fiddle during the show would be effective. But real quick, how can people see this?
If you check out, so it'll be streaming. We'll have everything you need to see if you check out Yahoo Sports once the draft kicks off. But it's going to be streaming live. Excuse myself, as you said, Jason Fitz, Matt Harmon, who handles a lot of our fantasy load at Yahoo Sports, Adam Gorney from Rivals, and then Damian Harris, who obviously was the running back for the Patriots and the Bills during the course of his NFL career. So it'll be it's just going to be the five of us. And as picks roll in, we're going to suss out what we think of the different players and things we'd heard and the process and whatnot. So it's going to be a little bit different. It won't be like a live feed of the NFL draft. It's just going to be more sort of what we had all heard into the process, what we think of the picks. If you want to watch it, you know, dual screen experience type of thing, check out Yahoo Sports once the draft starts. So it should be pretty fun.
So you think 6 quarterbacks are going in the first round?
Yeah, I do. I think at this point it's pretty. The interesting thing about it, though, is So when you, I'm telling you, Penix, when I did all these draft assessments and I felt like I got the stack of how teams were looking at their own boards and trying not really their own boards in terms of how they valued players with grades, but more how they felt like players would come off the board. To me, the one player in the six quarterbacks, and really it comes down to Bo Nix of Oregon and Michael Penix of Washington, the one player who had by far assessments that screamed to me, someone really has to like him to take him in one, was Penix. Of 11, 12 teams, they were clearly stacking him in the mid first to the end of the, or I'm sorry, the mid second to the end of the second. And some even had third round grades on him. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the medical. There are some teams that no matter what, yeah, he's been healthy for a couple of years, they're going to subboard him just from a medical perspective and say, we can't risk a first round pick on this guy. Maybe we can't risk a second round pick. But, you know, of 12 teams, I think only one had like a late first round sort of in their stack. This is where we think he's likely to come off a late first round grade or lock in on the boards where they're looking externally at the rest of the league. 13 at the Raiders, they have been locked onto him. I remember being at the combine. We might have discussed it on the show where it was early on, and I started to hear, you know, the Raiders love him. They're locked in on him. And I'm like, in the second? I'm like, I can't believe they're going to take this guy at number 13. That's never stopped consistently through the process. And I questioned it so much at the combine, you know, I internally and then in the league, I kind of asked a few people, but I was like, I'm not saying this out loud. And then Daniel Jeremiah, like a week or two after, I think he released his first mock and he had it. He had him going to the Raiders. I'm like, all right, well, I guess we can talk about this. It's not that crazy. But teams, even then, when you would ask them, were kind of like, that's wild. Like, that is just this idea of quarterbacks really getting over-pursued in this draft to push him up that high. And it's not just the medical. You know, he's short to intermediate. short to intermediate. There's things about him that need a lot of work as a passer. And then I think teams looked at the Michigan tape in the national title game. And they said, this is NFL type of pressure. This is one he's going to deal with. And they did not like what they saw on tape against Michigan. And I think there was just this concern that is he going to be able to handle it, you know, when he gets to the NFL level and he's going to constantly face not only physicality where guys are going to be hitting him, but, you know, he's going to have to move around in the pocket and make decisions and be accurate. And he's already shown at times where he's not pressured from short to intermediate, he has some accuracy issues. So Penix, I think, is going to be the one. You know, Nix is a pick your flavor type. If he fits the scheme, that's why everybody's putting him in Denver. Sean Payton's got the kind of scheme that really dovetails with his game. Does he go 12 to Denver? Does he go to Denver later in the first round? I think that's more of the question, but those are the six with the big four. And then those two guys, I think, all sneak into the first round at some point.
Charles Robinson with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Charles, two things for you here. We've assumed for a year and a half at this point that Marvin Harrison is going to be the first wide receiver to come off the board. Do you think Neighbors has a chance to come off before Harrison? And when it comes to the first round, could we see six wide receivers? Could we see seven? How do you view how many, just the quality of wide receiver and how many we could see come off the board tonight?
Sure. Now that we're here, I doubt that Neighbors. There were times where it was fun to, you know, talk to different personnel executives and kind of debate the merits of the two guys. But I just don't. I think Marvin's coming off first, regardless of, you know, whether that's, you know, I don't. If Arizona sticks at four, if it could be there, if they move back, you know, let's say to six. If it's, you know, if he gets to the Giants, maybe it's there. I think it's pretty clear that, you know, Marv is seen as the guy who's going to come off first. Weirdly enough, what I think has kind of happened in the process is I wonder if Rome Odunze out of Washington, like if there's a shock, I think it would be more like, oh, Rome's this wide receiver too, and not Neighbors. And I only say that because in the process, the one guy who I've heard like no negatives about, where teams have raved every time they've talked to him. They love what he does on the field. They love that he went to the combine and did everything. Seems to really be connected to the process and like, look, I'm going to do whatever I got to do. This is, you know, like the way he's attacked it. And then again, the interviews have been fantastic. I think Roma Dunze is the one guy that has really put some pressure on maybe Neighbors. And, you know, and I don't want to blow this up. I think Neighbors has been fine in the process, has been great, and his pro day was awesome at LSU. You know, but I also think like some of the interviews, I think a couple of teams were kind of nitpicking him a little bit just in terms of the sit downs that they had with him. And, you know, but again, I also think some of that's overexposure when it comes to these guys. It's in terms of the wide receivers stack in the first. Yeah, I definitely think six is a pretty solid number. Brian Thomas out of LSU is going to be interesting because I've heard at the last minute in the process with him, a couple of teams are like, yeah, we like him and we like this film. We like the stuff he does downfield. There's a little bit of a labrum thing with him that makes us a little nervous. So, you know, I wonder if he quote unquote slides a little bit, if maybe the concern over a past injury involving the labrum is something that causes that. Worthy is another one that I think is a first. So that's five. And then I think what's interesting is when you start to get down to that sixth receiver, it's a number of different guys who could potentially be in play. Like some teams tell me, like with Ladd McConkey in Georgia, they're like, yeah, fringe first. Others are like, no injury concern there. Late second. Like we're looking at him as kind of a late second guy. Mm-hmm. Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. So I'll say this about Mitchell. A lot of stuff popped up in the process at the last minute. Bob McGinn, who was a longtime Packers beat writer, brought up some issues with whether Mitchell being diabetic has created problems for him, first at Georgia, then at Texas, in terms of availability, in terms of like kind of his mood and the way he, you know, approached staffs or people surrounding the football programs. I don't want to like rubber stamp that, but I will say there was concern when I talked to teams. They're like, is this real? And they're like, yeah, there's some of that there. Like there is some concern there, but I think the teams that really like him and like what he brings to the table, they go, we feel like he's coming in. He's going to be a professional. We're going to make sure that this is something that is managed properly. And, you know, there will be less of an availability concern. And when I say availability concern, by the way, I mean like for practices, during the course of the week, you know, and then just sort of kind of how he functions personally and socially with people surrounding him. I think there were some questions with teams that was surprising to me, and I hadn't really asked that question before Bob brought it up. And I was surprised that a couple of teams definitely were like, yeah, you know, a little bit of that. So we'll see if that causes him to maybe slip out of the first, because I do think he was definitely a guy that was probably very solidly in that 20 to 32 range prior to Bob bringing that, at least for me. And then after that, I was like, maybe he's a little further down in the first than I thought.
So Charles, there's always misinformation. I mean, there's always things that people are talking about going into a draft, and then you can look back. Like I look back at last year, and a lot of people were on this. Oh, the Colts love Levis. Levis is their guy.
Right.
So if I have a called shot today, my shot is that the Harbster has been barking about offensive linemen, and he obviously has to take a freaking receiver at five, and he's going to take a receiver at five, and he was always going to take a receiver at five. First of all, what do you think about that? And if there's one thing right now maybe that stands out to you among popular narratives that you think is bunk, what would it be?
Well, first off, when it comes to Harbaugh, and I'll tell you what, I did – so I spent, I mean, I hammered the phones late last week, like in through Sunday, Monday, and then I wrote a draft notebook. And I'm like, okay, here's how I think this is a ton of draft information. And then for the first time in 15 years, I did like a mini mock on Twitter yesterday, or X. And I basically said, look, if the Patriots pick and stick McCarthy, which would be the shocker, here's how I think that like top 16 picks could end up breaking down. And after I did all of it, I was like, man, this is going to be awesome, because in like 4 days. I'll look back, and I was like, at the very least, it's going to be a litmus test of like who I can no longer trust. I'm probably like 70% of this is going to be totally wrong, or 80% of this is not going to pan out, and I'm going to be pissed off. And you know, I was like, at least it'll be a tool to help me be like, okay, what happened here when we were talking? So yeah, there's a ton of misinformation. And I will say this about the Chargers, though. He has brought up offensive line. It has affected other teams to the point where in like the last 5 days, J.C. Latham, the Alabama right tackle, became a very prominent. There's a very prominent belief that like the Chargers are very locked onto Latham. Some people believe the Titans really like Latham. Like if, let's say, Alt came off at 5, some people think the Titans would be more than happy to run the card in on Latham at 7. I trotted it out yesterday. I think it was early in the, you know, early afternoon. I said, I put Latham at 5. I get killed by Chargers fans. They absolutely murdered me. And then like, then Daniel Jeremiah comes out with his mock late last night. And oh, surprise, Latham now is at 5. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm not the only one hearing this. Clearly,
he's copying you.
I'm sure DJ's copying me. You know, so it's, but yeah, I sit there and I look at it and I'm like, they clear, like if they do this, and that's when I spot them there, I'm like, if they do this, like, where are they getting their wide? They need wide receiver talent, and you'd be passing an elite at 5 to do this, maybe yes, even Marvin Harrison Jr., depending on how it all comes in. And it's hard for me to believe that. And so if they take a wide out, Joe, as you suspect, I'm going to sit there and go, yeah, I mean, I'm just dumb. like I just listen. It's like I tell myself I'm not going to listen to people late, particularly in the 48 hours before the draft. And then I did, and I'm just a dummy, so I can't help it. In terms of other things that I say, clearly McCarthy is the one where you're like, okay, what if this guy, let's say May goes off at 3, then the Giants don't take him at 6, and then all of a sudden he's quote unquote sliding and the Vikings sit pat. And even though I don't think he's their number one like target in a move up, he gets to 11 and the Vikings select him there. Then we'll be like, oh, McCarthy is like a mini slide. That won't really be true. It'll just be, oh no, some people came to their senses or whatever, and they weren't, you know, willing to give up a bunch of assets to push him up the board unnecessarily. And he slid back a bit. The only other one that I'm kind of iffy on is like Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas. I think it was Schefter who brought it up first. I've heard other people kind of echo it, the potential of him being the number one player, the defensive first big defensive player off the board, which would be a surprise because Dallas Turner out of Alabama, the edge, has gotten everybody I've talked to says like the cleanest eval in the draft when it comes from a defensive standpoint. I think what happened with Murphy was Ryan Poles, the GM for the Bears, came out and said, he just talked at length about how much having a sort of pocket penetrator in the middle of the defensive line, particularly when you have an edge, is such a huge deal. And then, you know, I think some teams start to hear that and they're like, well, maybe Murphy's that guy that they want. And he would surprisingly become the first D tackle off the board or first defensive player off the board. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. Like, let's see if Nick's. Does one of these 6 quarterbacks? So what I told you about Penix, if let's say Penix goes in the 2nd, everyone's like, oh my gosh, Penix, look, he slid. That wouldn't be true. All the teams I talked to put him in the 2nd, you know, some put him in the 3rd. So if he ends up there, that's kind of meets the assessment that what a lot of these teams were looking at when they were slotting externally the board, and they were saying Penix probably going to be a 2nd round pick. But we're all looking at it going, mock drafts, these million mock drafts are all putting him. So he must be sliding. No, he wasn't really sliding for NFL teams. They all kind of looked at him like this. But this year, more than any, and I probably felt this way last year, but this year, more than any, I cannot believe the amount of mock drafts I saw. It's insane. Like it used to be every outlet would have 1 or 2. Now I feel like every outlet's got, in terms of individuals, now it's like, NFL Network has like nine people doing mock drafts. And I'm like, are they just walking through the hallways? Be like, got a mock draft? You got a mock draft? What are we doing mock
drafts? It's like NCAA brackets now. Yeah. Everybody's got a bracket, yeah. You know?
Where to go? There's like an intern making copies. I'm like, hey man, you got a mock draft? You want to get your mock draft up? Like, so yeah. If they redid draft day now, the guy who's Kevin Costner, when he trashed the intern's computer, he would have been, the intern would have been pissed. He'd be like, I'm gotta get my mock draft.
Charles, last thing for you here. What do you think the chances are that we could see either a Brandon Ayuk or a T. Higgins move tonight or this weekend?
So this falls into the whole like misinformation stuff. The last 48 hours, I've gotten calls from a couple of teams that they're like, hey, what are you hearing on Ayuk? But it wasn't like a normal, it was like, they were clearly hearing that the Niners were like taking calls then on Ayuk. And it was like, where's he going to go? What's going to happen? Hey, is Pittsburgh in play here? If he gets traded, then you're like, oh, clearly they got to the point where they're like, all right, open the phone lines on him. Let's at least hear what teams would potentially offer him. It's just weird that this is now where it's really started to bubble up the last 2 days. So I don't know whether to believe that or not, but there's definitely more poking and prodding from other NFL teams on that, especially specifically Ayuk, and who might be calling the 49ers about him. He's on my radar because this has happened really starting on Tuesday. I think it was like Tuesday evening was when all of a sudden I started to hear like, oh, Ayuk's going to get traded. Higgins, I think teams have known for a while that they could make their offers on T and that T wanted to be traded and that, if you want to come to the table with a second round pick, maybe that starts the conversation with the Bengals. I think what really changes the dynamic for the Bengals is the Amon-Ra St. Brown contract is Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb are like, they are going to nuke it. Like the idea of like $35 million easy, I think, for those guys. Justin Jefferson, $35 million easy, probably for that trio of receivers. That's not to knock them on Ross St. Brown. It's just these three are definitely in a tier way above, I think, the next tier of guys. And so if you're the Bengals, you're like, we're there's just no way we can keep T. Like if we were to keep T, this pipe dream we had of getting him and keeping him at like 17 a year is not going to happen. And so I think I don't know if that changes their motivation. I think they'd still like to have him back in 2024 for what now would be a cheap 1 year deal. But yeah, I think the money to me is very suggestive and that the Bengals are going to have to listen on T knowing that this is the last year they're ultimately going to have him. And I think it's just what kind of draft compensation would they be willing to take and or would they rather just have the year of production? Because Burrow does want him back. That's the tough thing here is that Burrow really, really wants to have him there in place in 2024 and beyond. So that's a conversation I think they'd even have to have internally with Joe about maybe really we got to think about moving him.
Well, Charles, really appreciate your time as always. Looking forward to your coverage tonight of the draft on Yahoo Sports, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rexel. We'll react to what Charles had to say. Take your thoughts on all things NFL draft. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.